Where does my thirst come from?
It comes from here. From these people. Because their passion, their love drives me. They say home is where your heart is. And my heart is here. It's always been.
Well, welcome to this next installment in our sermon series, Breath and Living Water. Sorry I can't be with you in person, but you'll hear I'm a bit croaky and it's not good to be around people in those circumstances. So here we are with LeBron James, one of the most recognisable sports people on the planet today. I'm sure you might agree. Certainly that's true in the States. But also, and perhaps more so in the States, Sprite is one of the most recognisable brands. And how interesting that they've been teamed up together for some 17 years. And Sprite, you see, is not, to many Americans, not just sugary, bubbly water, but it's synonymous in, particularly in some marginalised African-American communities where hip-hop music is the key genre. Sprite is a real symbol of life and hope after decades of investment in poor communities. And LeBron himself having some impact in bringing kids up from those down-and-out situations. I guess we need to recognise that this year LeBron has broken that contract and has moved over to Pepsi, the big opposition. And I wonder if that means he no longer holds on to those noble causes that are reflected in that video I showed you. Be interesting to reflect on that with him if we could. But he does ask an interesting question in that video clip. He says of himself, "Where does my thirst come from?" It's a good question we could ask ourselves in relation to what really matters in life. We might say, "Where does my thirst come from?" And that might be, "What drives me?" Or, "What do I truly seek in life so that my soul is truly satisfied?" I guess we'd be a little bit suspicious that it might be fame, success, and wealth that has overtaken the treasure of LeBron's heart this year. I hope that's not true. But we have an opportunity to look at something greatly contrasting as we open the scriptures today. And as we turn to John's Gospel, chapter 7, we hear the words of Jesus as he cries out to a great crowd gathered in Jerusalem long ago. He says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me." If you think about it, maybe this is the original way of saying, "Obey your thirst." This makes a bit more sense when we get a good picture of what was going on around Jesus as he spoke these words. You see, John's Gospel tells us Jesus had been teaching secretly in and around Jerusalem, teaching about God. And it was during a big religious festival known as the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Festival of Booths. Lasted 7 days, happened every year. This important festival was based on the commands written in Leviticus chapter 23 in the Old Testament. It was celebrated each year to remember God's saving love for the Hebrew people long ago in the wilderness. And John tells us that Jesus cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me," on the very last of the 7 days of that feast. And history tells us that on that last day, priests would, as you can kind of see symbolized in the illustration, collect water from the cisterns in the temple and carry that water to the altar of the temple. And this was to recall perhaps God's great provision of water to the desert wanderers long ago, Israel's time in the wilderness. You can read about that miracle in Exodus chapter 17. In this festival in Jerusalem, the priests would then circle the altar 7 times with a container of water. And the scriptures perhaps about that time in the wilderness would have been recited along with the ceremony that's taking place. And perhaps at this very moment in this big festival, Jesus cries out his challenging invitation, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me." Let's pause and reflect for a moment. What do you thirst for most in life, do you think? It's a pretty big question to ask. Once, as I said, LeBron James clearly longed for justice and hoped young kids in African American marginalized communities would be able to get ahead in life. But maybe for many of us, things like wealth, fame, success, other pursuits that bring temporary pleasure, maybe those replace such a treasure from time to time. What drives you right now? What do you thirst for in your heart of hearts? What do you think the treasure is right at the center of your life right now? In the Beatitudes, as we call them, of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus commends a number of people as heroes of the kingdom of God, if you like, and they're unlikely characters in the scheme of the world's status measures. But in verse 6, he says, "Blessed are those who are thirsty for righteousness." Now, we might want to unpack that word righteousness. It sounds a bit technical and religious to us today. We could say that it means something like the justice and love that God seeks for the world. Jesus commended those who truly thirst for God's love and justice to be seen at work in the world. A story is told that in the liberation of Palestine in World War I, Palestine's been in the news for lots of reasons, but way back then in World War I, a combined force of British, Australian and New Zealand soldiers was closely pursuing Turkish troops who were retreating from the desert. Moving northward, the Brits, Aussies and New Zealanders found that their water was running out. It ran out completely. Their mouths got dry, they reported, their heads ached, they were dizzy and faint, some began seeing mirages on the horizon. They knew that if they didn't make it from Beersheba to the Sharia Wells by nightfall, thousands of them would die, as hundreds of them already had. Somehow they made it to the wells. Distribution of the water, it was reported, from the cisterns was slow and tedious. It took 4 hours till the last of the soldiers had his share to drink. And during that life-giving procedure, the soldiers were standing no more than 6 metres from thousands of litres of life-giving water that they couldn't get their hands on. It had been their consuming passion of their imagination for many agonising days. One of the officers who was present reported his own reflection on these events, saying, "I believe that day we learned our very first real Bible lesson on the march from Beersheba to the Sharia Wells." He says, "If such were our thirst for God, for righteousness, and for God's will in our lives, a consuming, all-embracing, preoccupying desire, how rich," he asks, "in the fruit of the Spirit would we be?" When Jesus cried out on that day during the Festival of Booths in Jerusalem, "Let anyone who thirsts come to me," he was searching for those who truly yearn for God's love and justice, who truly yearn for God. And he was declaring the true satisfaction for our soul's thirst is found in him. Like travellers in the desert longing for water, the psalmist sings about that sort of thirst. Like animals searching for fresh water in a vast forest, the psalmist sings of this type of thirst as well. Jesus calls out to souls seeking God as the very source of their life. As he once told a Samaritan woman at a well, John chapter 4, "I will give water," he said, "that will become in you a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." Let's pause to reflect again. If you were in that crowd in Jerusalem long ago at the temple ceremony of water taking place religiously, Do you think your ears would have pricked up at Jesus' invitation? Come, drink from me. Would this have sounded strange to you or curiously inviting? Is your soul attuned, do you think, to what God alone can give? Did you note that when Jesus called to the crowd, he didn't just focus on himself, but pointed forward to the coming Holy Spirit and the work of the Spirit that would be poured out in all who would believe in Jesus and follow him? Jesus says in verses 38 and 39, it's the Holy Spirit to come that will work the living water in and through us. Look at verse 38. And let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water, says Jesus. We don't have an exact reference in the scriptures to those words per se, but perhaps Jesus was summarizing something like Ezekiel's great prophecies about life-giving water. Remember, and we'll talk about it in a couple of weeks, that grand picture in Ezekiel of a river flowing from a future temple that brings life to everything on its banks. Or in chapter 36, where Ezekiel promises, as Jeremiah does in his prophecies, the Spirit's work will replace hearts of stone with a new heart and a new spirit. Whatever the case may be, it's clear in John's Gospel, Jesus longs to supply our hearts with satisfaction, water that truly, lastingly satisfies. But more than this, he longs to supply us with a stream of life-giving grace that expresses itself outwardly to the benefit of others in service and love to those we minister to in life by the power of his Spirit. Did you notice Jesus speaks of living water here particularly? The Greek word for living can mean both lively, as in bubbling and fresh, or life-giving in other contexts, like in the desert. But I think here, in contrast to the stagnant water lying in the cisterns of the temple used for ceremonies, it's a great image, isn't it, that Jesus is crying out to them, look, here is living water, lively, refreshing, bubbly, satisfying to the thirst. And then he's saying, and this same satisfaction can be given to others through you. Everyone who lived in Palestine in the ancient world had a perfect example of the contrasting types of water that might come to mind as Jesus spoke these words. The Sea of Galilee to the north, you may know, freely receives and gives out water. It has an abundance of life, nurturing many different kinds of fish and plant life in its ecosystem. But the water of the Dead Sea to the south of it, to the south connected by the Jordan River, only takes water in and does not give water out. There is nothing living, no fish or plant life in the Dead Sea. The powerful, life-giving waters of the Sea of Galilee flow down the Jordan but become dead when mixed with the hoarded mixed waters of the Dead Sea, because it doesn't give any water out. When Penny and I travelled to Iceland, it was a remarkable experience. As we travelled through the land over and over, we remarked to each other how we felt like we'd never really seen, experienced or tasted water before, because the water that from the melted glaciers that flowed so powerfully, bubbled with great effervescence, tasted crystal clear and fresh like nothing tasted before. It was truly remarkable. It was as if this was water of a different order altogether. Jesus' controversial and divine claim long ago in Jerusalem, John 7:38, was that he is the fountain of living water. By his Spirit, those who come to him and drink of him
will not only never be thirsty in the sense of soul satisfaction, but they will be able to bring and give satisfaction of souls everywhere by God's grace. No doubt that's through the sharing of the gospel, through prayer, through service, good deeds of love and sacrifice as we follow Jesus in his pattern. The great 18th century revivalist preacher Jonathan Edwards said of these words of Jesus, "Christ is like a river. There are fresh supplies of water coming from the fountainhead continually so that one may live by it and be supplied with water all throughout life. So Christ is an ever-flowing fountain," he says, "continually supplying his people, and the fountain is not spent. They who live upon Christ may have fresh supplies from him to all eternity. They may have an increase of blessedness that is new, a new skill, and which will never come to an end." And truly Jesus' invitation back in these festival days of the temple, recorded for us in John's Gospel, focus our eyes on God's gift to us as believers here in church today. Those who believe in Jesus, we know, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the great promise of Pentecost. We can read about it in Acts 2. It was the great promise of Jesus to his disciples. We heard that in John chapter 14, read to us today also. Bishop Gregory of the 4th century said, "Jesus ended his earthly ministry by being thirsty. Yet he is the living water. His Holy Spirit is the life-giving stream." My encouragement to you this Pentecost Sunday is to obey your thirst. Let your deepest yearning for love and justice as God desires it in our world drive your own choices. Shape your preferences as you read the scriptures, as you meet with other Christians and study God's word, as you pray to God, and as you serve in Jesus' name, as you respond to his Spirit calling you to the justice and love of God in your own life. If you worship today, why not respond to Jesus afresh, to that invitation, "Come and drink of me." Find life's true satisfaction believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. And in your prayers and devotions this week, why not call upon God's Spirit to be the source of love and good deeds that you can bring to refresh the lives of others around you as you follow Jesus, and do this to God's glory. May God bless you abundantly with all the goodness of his life-giving Spirit.